Welcome to the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast. My name is Patrick Gilbert. This is a podcast where we talk about digital advertising, business consulting, and career growth. It's been a very long time since we've recorded one of these at Adventure Media, but excited to be back. This is a really awesome topic that we're excited to share with the rest of the world here. Joining me are two of our rockstar team members. We have Kelly McKibben and Bruna Alves. We're going to be talking about essentially how we hacked hiring in 2022. But before I introduce Kelly and Bruna, I just want to give a little bit of background. So Adventure Media is a relatively small digital advertising agency. We've been around for, you know, say 8 years now. And the biggest challenge that we've always had is hiring. We're a service-based business. So the people that are here doing the work for our clients is essentially the product that we sell. And it's been really, really challenging over the years, not just to recruit talent, but to find the right talent and to cultivate that talent and be able to help people grow in their career. It is by far the biggest challenge that we've encountered. And Kelly and Bruna have been working with us in different roles for a while now. And it was only a couple months ago that our CEO, Isaac Radansky, came to them and said, "Hey, look, this is a huge issue that we need to figure out a new solution to. Our previous methods of recruiting were just not helping us scale our team as fast as we would have wanted. So can we figure out something completely different, something completely new that has never been done before that can help us grow our team?" Spoiler alert, you guys did, and it was wildly successful. And I think that the crux of this is that we essentially looked at a career at Adventure Media as if it were a product that we were marketing for one of our clients. And that's something that it's kind of ironic. Like, we never really thought of it that way before, even though we do marketing every single day. But it was a complete paradigm shift in the way that we approached this problem. And I think that that was kind of the big thing that changed everything. So I want to first give it to Bruna. Can you just kind of introduce yourself? Like, because part of this too is like, this is not what you guys do here. Like, this is not your regular role. So Bruna, can you just give like a quick, you know, 30 second to a minute about like who you are, what you do for Adventure, and then what your initial reaction was when Isaac kind of brought you in and said, "Hey, drop everything you're doing. You're now a recruiter."
That's funny. It's actually part of what I do. But when Isaac approached me, was like, "Okay, things got serious now." Just because one of the projects that I manage, I work as a project manager. I was hired to build our pool of freelancers. So I've done a little bit of hiring. It was always more related to different parts of the business because we were actually recruiting for, you know, things that we don't do. Even though nowadays we also do have some marketers in our pipeline, in our database. Initially it was more like for creatives and things like that. So I've done a bunch of hiring for freelancers, but I also manage a different project, which is our partner network. And that's slightly different project. It's more related to our sales and marketing and building relationships with other agencies.
What was your initial reaction to this project?
Yeah, so when Isaac approached us with a very long email, when you receive a very long email, you already know that something is gonna have to come out of it. It was a big of a mission. I think that, you know, it was really pretty much like, okay, things go serious now. I'm gonna have to hire, like participate and build that, you know, but it's really like this, people, they're full-timers, there's way more responsibility in hiring these agents. So
shock, a bit of a shock, I'm sure, but also like,
yeah, we can figure it out. And that first moment where you're like, where do we start, you know?
Kelly, welcome.
Can you
give a brief introduction and answer these same questions?
Yes. So I'm back. My name is Kelly McKibben. I am the director of events. I still sit in our Philadelphia office with Brendan Roach, who we were on here a little while ago and had a great time. But yeah, this time it was a totally different mindset for me as well. I was kind of getting settled into my director of events role, which kicked off in the beginning of the year. We were trying to think through what events we want to attend, how do we want to approach the year. Then all of a sudden, career fairs became events, and we were like, okay, fine. So when I got Isaac's email, I think I knew it was coming in the back of my mind. I was like, oh, I'm about to be doing hiring and recruiting. But I don't think I understood the full force effort that we were ready to dive in for. When we talked about going to career fairs, we're like, okay, let's see. We'll really approach it in the fall. Then all of a sudden we saw Isaac's email and we just hit the ground running. It was very daunting and intimidating because I myself in college and as a employee was far from the type of person to go out and seek a job. I was very afraid of interviews for as much as I like to talk. So I didn't really know how we were going to approach it. And that's why I think Bruna and I ended up being a great tag team because Bruna is very people oriented and detail oriented, already had a little bit of background. I would say I'm pretty process oriented. So I was able to say, okay, how do we want to really approach this with what the day-to-day for the account managers looks like, plus what Bruna already has a hold on, how she knows how to reach out to people, her amazing ability to do LinkedIn messaging and just kind of all across the board. So I think it fit really well, but it was very scary at first.
To set the stage, it was mid-April and it was actually the week that I was going to be getting married. And I was out in California and I'm still on East Coast time. So I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And I call Isaac to check in and see how things are going. And I'm just kind of walking around, like literally the sun is rising by like 5, 6 a.m. or whatever. And Isaac's telling me about like this crazy idea he had. And he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to like, I think we should really like be more aggressive about hiring. Because at the time, right, well, now we have three offices. So we have an office in New York and Philadelphia and Fort Lauderdale. And the Fort Lauderdale one was completely brand new. And the idea here is like, listen, like, we're now paying like rent and utilities on three different locations. And we want to be able to aggressively scale our business and do all these other things. And like the biggest thing holding us back historically was hiring. So this is more important than ever. And we talked through it a little bit, like as the sun is rising. And I was like, all right, man, good luck. Like we'll talk like when I'm back from my honeymoon. And then it was like an hour and a half later, he sent that email to you guys, which as Bruna mentioned, like was pretty long. It was outlining essentially like, here's where we're at. Here's our philosophy on hiring. Here's what we've done. Here's what's worked in the past. Here's what we're not really good at. And I want you guys to figure out a new solution. So part of it is like, we want to be able to hire people that are, you know, fresh coming out of college, but we also want to be able to find a way to hire people with a little bit of experience, people that are looking for a change in career. I think that's something that like now, like we've really had a lot of success with. In saying, hey, this person worked in accounting or just like a totally different field. And now they're interested in joining a new career, joining a new type of field. And this is what we're able to bring them in and cultivate them. And they're pretty talented. So all these different things. And he concluded this email by saying, this is the most impactful, serious issue the agency is currently facing. Looking forward to talking this over. Keep me posted, Isaac. What took place after that? Because I actually don't even know. Like, this is the reason that we're doing this podcast, by the way, is like because I want to make this into a blog post and I want to help other people learn from what we had encountered. And like I was sort of busy during like this 2 or 3 week period. A lot of this happened without me even knowing, and I don't even know how you guys did it. So like what happened from this moment to where you eventually built kind of a recruiting pipeline engine?
Yeah, I can jump in. I mean, first off, I remember my initial response, I think I slacked Bruna and I was like, who does he want us to hire? What are we hiring for? Where are we hiring for? Like all these questions just flooded our minds. And I think our channel was just questions back and forth to each other for probably 3 hours. We were like, we need to get on a call and talk about this. I think that's kind of how we started.
Yeah. And I think that after our hours of questioning, we started our channel on Slack, and then it was Ari, myself, Kelly, and Isaac, and then we jumped on a call, and that's when we defined the goals. So I think that the ultimate goal was to have 3 candidates for each location in the pipeline within like 2 weeks.
It's like a crazy goal.
Yeah.
And we even had to like take a step back from that. We were like, what do we have a job description? Like, we didn't even have a job description.
Right.
And yeah, we had 2 weeks to get candidates. So we were like, all right, we're really starting from nothing and we want to get to a place in less than 2 weeks where not only do we have about 10 people to kind of put in front of our office managers, we needed to have screened, we don't even know how many people by then. We needed to have given quizzes, so we don't even know how many people by then. It was just very ambiguous.
Yeah. So there's like, I want to get into all of like the little things, because it was actually like kind of comical to see like what was already out there about our like job positions. Because like you could find stuff on our website, you could find stuff on LinkedIn, you could find stuff on Handshake, which is like another program that I'm sure we'll talk about. And like, there's like a ton of other areas where like something at some point had been posted and like all of this was like totally outdated. Like it didn't even have the right address, like things like that. And like part of it is like, look, we don't have like a fully fledged HR department. And by that I mean like it's really just the people on this call essentially. And we've been trying to like, we've been in the process of redoing our website and our branding and our logo and all these other things. And it was like, all right, like at some point we're gonna have a better careers page, we're gonna figure all this stuff out. But then like that takes a year and a half or 2 years, whatever. So it's like, oh my God, there is actually so much work that needs to be done. So we had to take stock of what we had, but also not to completely like, you know, hate on everything we were doing. We had done something right, because over the course of 6 or 7 years, we had grown the team to, you know, let's say just over 20 people or you know, 25 people at that point. So something had worked. It was just slower than we would have hoped for. And that was a big piece of it, because the way our hiring had always worked, or at least for the last couple of years, that we developed a system where candidates will, it was always a two-step process, really, where somebody would apply, and the application process would include, okay, like, you know, upload your resume, upload your cover letter, but then there was a skills assessment. And that, like Nahama had developed that like years ago. And it's pretty basic. It's essentially, it talks about like, hey, if you have, you know, if a law firm spends X amount in advertising and they get X amount of leads, and they get, you know, X, Y amount of dollars for every closed deal, at what point are they profitable? And the answer is that like, hey, you don't have enough information. You don't know what the close rate is. Things that are like, you don't necessarily have to have direct experience in the industry to answer these questions. And it's open book, and there's all the information in the world out there. And one of the most important things for, you know, if you want to be an employee at Adventure Media, is you have to be able to find information that's out there. And if you don't have experience with it yet. So that was always a good thing that we had in place, the skills assessment quiz. And I think it's like 8 or 10 questions, where people would fill it out and kind of go through that process. That was the first thing, that was the application. The next stage of that is we would do an initial interview. It would usually, like historically, it would be like myself and Isaac together. We'll get on the phone, and we would just kind of assess like, okay, would this person be a good fit, good personality, whatever, cultural fit. And then the next stage of that process, so I guess really 3 steps, is we would send them a project. Now, this is something that like historically, a lot of companies don't really ask candidates to like do homework for the interview process. But like for us, it was super beneficial because it allows like people to understand a little bit more of the work. And we have 3 different projects that we kind of give people an opportunity to do. Choose one of these 3. It's a templated email we've sent out. And what's really interesting is that like these projects, like I've seen like more than 150 of these over the years, which in a way, there's a certain point of it where it's like, oh God, another one of these another one of these presentations. But also like there's so many different like interesting ways that people have like turned this project into something more interesting, or they made their own twist on it, or they said something that like, I don't know, really made them stand out. So I think that whole process has been really effective, and we've been doing it for a long time now. The problem was, one, Isaac and I were spending way too much time on interview. Like before this, like, let's say, you know, rewind the clock, the first 3 months of the year, I felt like all I was doing was doing these initial interviews. Like, most of my calendar was booked all day with just like giving people a 15-minute assessment and then, like, you know, getting these, like, the same presentation over and over again. That was too much of my time and Isaac's time. But then this other part of it was, like, we still weren't getting enough candidates in the pipeline. So that's really what we needed to solve, is we needed to get more candidates to reach that point where they're applying. And then we needed the application process to be, like, a little bit more efficient so that we would get higher quality candidates that, like, by the time I got on the phone with them, they were, like, more likely than not going to get a job offer. So laying that all on the table, we had that in place, but we still don't have job descriptions and, like, all these other things up. So, like, how did you take all of this and figure out how you're going to work on it? Bruna, what do you think? What was the first step there?
I think that in terms of, like, the stuff that we have out there, the content, I think that one big thing that Kelly and I worked on was actually to update channels. So LinkedIn, if we are looking to attract that many candidates in that little amount of time, we need to have a good presence. So we updated our LinkedIn profiles, Indeed, even created a Glassdoor page, which we didn't have before, or we had, and it was, like, totally dead. But we actually asked people to give the reviews, and we updated picture, a bios everywhere. I think that made a lot of difference from what we were attracting before.
Is there anything in particular, and Kelly, maybe this is something you would have some thoughts on, is there anything in particular that we were lacking in terms of how we were presenting ourselves and how we were selling ourselves? Or it was like this LinkedIn bio, this Glassdoor stuff, like, it's not as attractive as an opportunity as it should be.
Yes, and I'll agree, because even redoing the LinkedIn bios and our Glassdoor bios, it was, we obviously know who we are as an agency, but how do we get other people to see that we want to come and work for us and work with us? So it kind of ended up even, like, bringing Ari and the sales side in, because we were like, how do we convey to people how great our work is, how we do it so great, and then why do you want to be a part of our culture and our family, whether it's you as a client coming to a client event, like we just had, like Dola, or an employee, why do you want to sit next to me every day? What's going to make it so fun? So I think those were some of the hurdles too. It kind of opened another can of worms of how do we define ourselves? Because it's kind of hard to put yourself into 500 characters and have somebody say, yeah, no, this is a job I want to apply to, or no, this is a company I want to work for, their values and their work where I see myself.
Yeah. And it's difficult because, like, everyone says the same thing. Everyone says, like, oh, great culture, fast paced environment, a lot of upward mobility. Like, it's just, like, regurgitated. We're like, I really believe in that stuff here. Like that, like, I feel like it's BS everywhere else except here. And, you know, I'm obviously biased, but, like, is there one? And then if you stray too far from that, it's like, it looks weird. And this is where, like Isaac and I always, like, clash, because I'm much more, like, anxious about this stuff. I try to get, like, it is my nature to be more conservative, where Isaac is, like, wants to, like, write ad copy about this stuff that's, like, super on the other side of it, where it's, like, very unique and weird and off the wall, because he would hate all that, like, cliche upward mobility stuff. I'm sure that, like, both of us putting our different opinions in this was not super helpful, but maybe it was. Was there an angle that you found for us specifically that was like, oh, this is something we should start promoting about who we are as a company that we're not currently doing?
In terms of the print and those bios and all of this copy that we wrote, I think that what was there before, from our perspective, not being a senior and just, like, being in the company for almost 2 years, like, we got to experience the culture as the team, as with the team. Mm-hmm. So when we were to write that copy, I think we were able to kind of get in the middle where we're not getting weird, but we are also expressing how culture really exists. and which words we're going to choose to make that, to make people see that, that like it is fun, you know, it's an united team. It's all of the, how do we put those, this culture, like we have a values page, how do we put that into a bio copy, like 150 characters? So I think that's kind of how we looked at it and made that different.
For me, since I sit in the office every day, it was like once we were faced with, okay, we need to take this on, I started to like listen to people more. Like even when somebody would hang up from a call that they're frustrated about, and then I'd get them excited about something in the afternoon, I'd pay attention to like the words they were using when they were saying that they were excited, even though I know they like just slammed their laptop. Like really listening to what our teams were saying, because that's who the people we're hiring are going to work with. Like that's the words that they're going to hear. That's what they're going to resonate with when they're in that environment. So I think that it was yours and Isaac's leadership, kind of how it like kind of trickled down, and then bringing that back up to the job description and meeting you guys in the middle.
Right. I just brought up like a job description, like, cause I haven't looked at this in a while now. This is, I guess, a recurring problem. But I do think like what you guys just both described, it definitely comes through in the, like the first like junior account manager position. And then it starts with like a who we are, which is like focused on culture. Like it's, Adventure Media's team is made up of passionate, creative, and smart people. And then the second sentence, I think, tells you everything. It's the work we do happens to be performance marketing, but that's less about who we are and more about what we do, where people respect one another and hold themselves accountable to greatness. So I think that actually describes a lot of what I feel like. We've said all the time, like, hey, like, you know, this group of people is so special that we could probably pick ourselves up and, you know, just start a new business as like, you know, car salesmen or like lawyers or whatever. And I feel like it would just be the same sort of vibe. But then if you go into like the, what is your role? Another thing that stands out is like the way that this is written sort of talks about like the journey of a junior account manager. Most junior account managers are like fresh out of school, very early in their career. And I think like what we've received, like in talking to hundreds of candidates, is people want to know like, what is it? I hate the question, like, what does the day-to-day look like? Because like, that doesn't really give you a lot. But like, what is this going to look like? What am I coming here to do? And what does it mean 6 months from now, 12 months from now? And this talks about, there's like it mentions a training program. It mentions like your first step into campaign management. We're not expecting you to be, an advertising guru on day one, but you're going to be cultivated. You're going to get, you know, integrated into the culture. So I think that is something that really stands out to me that we probably weren't doing before, because what this really shows, it's not just fast-paced environment and you're going to get to work on exciting brands and do all this other stuff. It's like, it's actually kind of answering a lot of the questions that we get from candidates, specifically the right kind of candidates that we know we wanted to go after.
To jump in on that point, it set the stage for those screening interviews to help me and Bruna understand who are the candidates that are interested, who is actually taking the time to read the job description versus just applying because they saw it was being advertised on LinkedIn. It gave us a ground or foundation to kick off those screening interviews, which then just led to a more efficient and more valuable, fulfilling process when all those candidates really started talking to the hiring managers.
Yeah, definitely. What other things, what other areas did we have to work on as like the foundation? So like, can you describe what Handshake is? And like, if there's anything else that was in addition to that.
Yeah, I can jump in with Handshake. So it was my first time using it. Going back to how great of a student I was, did not know University of Georgia even used it. But students get to make profiles. So it's essentially LinkedIn for just college kids. And recent grads. So these students all have their profiles. They can connect with their employers. It's all connected through their university. So they're on there talking about what they're studying, if they've had any internships, you know, they've got their resume, their headshot, and you get to reach out to them. There's a whole job board, but you can also send them individual messages. So it was kind of figuring out how we had a job posted on there, revamping that, doing it kind of by office and by market, setting those, really targeting our schools and developing a strategy around, yeah, it'd be great to have kids coming from everywhere. We want kids that are interested in digital marketing, researching those schools that are taking those digital marketing classes. So making sure we're on their radar, they're on ours, kind of building out a strategy that way. And then reaching out to students who I felt like were qualified. So do I see that they are doing a digital media certificate already? Are they in data analytics? Sending them like custom messages. Hey, I see you're doing this. We're actually hiring interns. We're hiring junior account managers. Would love for you to get on a call with me. We can talk a little bit about it more. So it was kind of selling ourselves, but then the students selling themselves. It was a little handshakes, a little bit different than LinkedIn.
So actually, I want to back up because I totally forgot about this piece of it, which is really important, because just getting started on Handshake and being like, where do I go? It's probably really intimidating, but you had already done a lot of work on that topic specifically. Like before April, when this like, hey, this is the biggest, most important thing that you guys need to start doing. Kelly, you had been researching career fairs. Like as way back as this probably started like last year at some point, like late last year, you were going to start like kind of pioneering the career fair effort. I think I went to one career fair this year, St. Joe's, got Ryan Devine out of it. But I think you and Brendan went to one other at some point, but you had cultivated a list of schools in the New York market, in the Philadelphia market, and the Fort Lauderdale, Miami market. What did that process look like? Because that essentially was the secret, like, we ended up not using a lot of that for career fairs, but that was sort of like very successful when you started to use Handshake.
Yep. So, I mean, it doesn't even matter if you're not an advertising agency like we are, performance media, like looking to hire. It's identifying those schools with certificates and programs that you've seen hiring success from in the past. So, and like what your needs are. So I kind of approach it that way. I would look at each state and I'd say, all right, we need a hire in the New York area. Where would students be coming from that they'd be interested in? Okay, I found UConn, Fordham, Westchester. Like we were kind of able to piece all those together. And I was like, these are all great schools, but no engineer students are gonna come. Like, why do I wanna, I don't need to talk to them. I'm sure they're great people, but they don't even know what Google Ads is. And I don't even know how to use a protractor. Like, we're not gonna get along. So it was kind of taking it that way and just saying, all right, let me look for the top schools in the industries that we're looking to hire from. And I was going to look at it. I was like, let's go to career fairs. Career fairs are a lot of money. They're money.
A lot of work.
Money in a booth, merch, swag. You need to be memorable. You're spending a few $1,000s just, and even getting there, my time, Brendan's time in the car, time there. It's multiple days of work. But that was
awful. So that's like,
it's a lot. And Handshake allowed us to be more efficient in that. I was able to say, here's all the schools I already know I wanted to get in front of. Let's do that virtually. I mean, it's 2022. They don't need to see me in their auditorium. And not everybody's going to come to the career fair. It's not for everybody. Maybe the kids we wanted had class that day and they couldn't come. But being present on Handshake with those kids that we knew we wanted to see us was what caused hundreds of applications to come through.
There's a part of it too where you kind of have to understand like economic demography and like where people are moving to and for what reason. So like specifically, we're kind of talking about younger people. As you go to more senior type roles, it gets a little more complicated. But we could definitely talk about that in a second. But if it's like, okay, like essentially, like we want to find like, where are people, like what schools are funneling people, young people into the areas that we want to employ them in? Because we're not a fully remote company. And I think Philadelphia is probably the easiest one because there's so many schools that just pump out like young, excited talent that want to live in the Philadelphia region. Whereas like in New York, like, we're in New York, but we're on Long Island. Like we're not in Midtown Manhattan. And even like a school like NYU is awesome and they have a lot of great talent. And I would love to recruit people from NYU. But the reality of it is like, there's not a ton of people that are going to graduate from NYU. And like it depends on where they live. where, like, do they really want to commute, like reverse commute to Long Island? It's not that far, but like there's something that is sort of a turnoff for a lot of the students. Whereas like on Long Island, what we've had a lot of success with are people that are from, like grew up on Long Island, are probably going to move back home for a while. And maybe they went to Binghamton, like somewhere upstate basically, or maybe they went to UConn. There's a lot of these schools that a lot of Long Island people go to that are now in a much more like reasonable, the likelihood of them working out of this office is much higher. Philly, there's just so many schools in Philadelphia region and in New Jersey and in just Pennsylvania that like kind of put people toward that region. It's a little more central. Florida, I think, was a challenge and is still a challenge. So you have UCF, you have Miami, you have a couple of these other things. We haven't totally hit the nail on the head yet because it's like trying to, like, I think there's actually a lot of smaller schools in that area that we should be looking into in the future. But that's like, whatever. So that's like a whole wormhole that of like assessing universities that you want to target, whether it be career fairs or specifically on Handshake or one of these programs. I think that there's two things you want to think about. It's where are candidates moving after they graduate, and two, what are the schools with programs that generate the kind of talent we want to go after? If you can kind of find that Venn diagram, you hammer that like crazy. Okay, so that's a Handshake thing. Was there any other, like, you mentioned Glassdoor, you mentioned LinkedIn. Were there other areas that we needed to like put ourselves out there on?
I don't think we used any other.
No, that was enough.
Platform, no. Okay. I think that there is another piece of foundation to make that work that we didn't touch, and that's Monday.
Yeah.
So where do you want to get started with that?
Would be my next question, and this is, yeah, I think where Bruna did a lot of the legwork here. It's
this is her brainchild, and this is where all of her expertise like took over.
Just all of a sudden we had like hundreds of candidates being funneled through this program. So we had to develop a process and a system. We need to organize it using a project management tool. We use monday.com. If you're not familiar with it, it's an awesome project management tool, but it's like Asana or Basecamp or whatever. And we need to automate it as much as possible so that like I wasn't spending all of my time on initial interviews. Bruna, how did you solve this problem?
Yeah. So, we were exploring different alternatives to host our hiring management. We ended up staying with Monday because main reason we needed to act fast, and this is a tool we already have. And Monday does a million things, so we can make hiring Monday. So we restructure our whole workspace for hiring that used to have one board where candidates would fill out the quiz and would go for. And in that board, they have, you know, a lot of, the phases are all within that very same, you know, interface. So we structure that in just a different way. We build them by phases. So they still were using that one board when they filled out the quiz, but they were applying through, let's say, Handshake or LinkedIn. And we were transferring this data into the first phase of within Monday.com. So we had like those three boards, first, second, and third phase. On the first phase would be myself and Kelly mostly. And we were doing, you know, that initial interview. So everyone that was applying and that was receiving an email with the link to this assessment, they were going into that first phase board. And from there, we would have like different statuses where like they booked the interview, they didn't book, dropped off, didn't pass the quiz. And then the people that booked the call, and we had our 15 minutes like little interview with them, that screening interview that we call. And then moving from what if they pass, there was automation, of course, so we didn't have to move everything manually within the board. So from the first phase, if they passed, they would go to the second phase board, where they basically at that stage they would be meeting someone from the office that they applied. So if they were applying for Florida, they would meet Avery. If they were applying New York, they would meet Patrick. And then if they were applying for Philly, they would meet Brandon at that point. And these candidates were assigned to each of these people. So they were aware that there was going to be an interview. At that point, myself and Kelly would be sending emails and with their calendar invites to each of these people, and they would book. And again, back to Monday, if we received a good feedback from that second interview, that's when they would receive the project. They would jump into that third board of third phase, where they would be meeting with two or three seniors to present, to make that presentation. So that's kind of how we structured our Monday foundational, you know, processy. And then, yeah, with just giving out all of the stages of how we made all of the interviews as well.
So to summarize that, right, so people could automatically find these applications. They would get a link to the application in one of these programs or just on our website. You know, so it'd be LinkedIn ads or whatever, or our website. They would go through this assessment and application process, which was really just a Google form. They would submit it. It would come into Monday. You'd be able to organize it all on Monday and be able to check off. And then the candidate would get automated emails based on, hey, you know, we want to set up. And like they would get an email with a link to say my calendar for them to schedule a 15-minute initial assessment. So now all of a sudden, like, now you guys are doing a ton of work, but like still a lot less work than if you were doing all this manually, where like all of a sudden I just now have my calendar is filling up with these 15-minute interviews of people that I know have been assessed by one of the two of you. They've already gone through the quiz. Like there's a lot of information that I can easily get. And what was great was we eventually found what was that initial interview. And then generally I would just tell you guys on Slack, like, hey, this person, you know, next step or we're going to pass. And then if we're going to do the next step, automated email to get the project. And then they would reach out to us to schedule that time. This became so efficient. We'll talk like not like because we went through hundreds of candidates at some point, like that by the time myself or Isaac or somebody else had a third round interview where they were presenting the project, I think we had just over a 50% offer rate. Meaning if somebody was doing a project, they got to that point where now we're going to spend probably somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour and a half interviewing them for real. It was more than a 50% they were getting an offer for a full-time offer to join the company. And that is nuts. That is not something I've ever experienced in my career up until this point where it's like, that is such a high success rate. So it worked. Now, one thing that I think is really interesting about this whole process is there are so many different ways that somebody can be valuable, like, or a candidate can be valuable. And I think one of the problems with hiring is that like, you know, years ago when I was like early in my career and I'd be submitting my resume to different things, like everyone was using some sort of like screener bot to pick up on keywords and other stuff that was like total BS. And if you didn't have the right stuff on your resume, you'd never get in the door. There's all these different kind of biases and things that are just kind of bad with the hiring process across the entire world. What I like about what we've all built here is that there's a lot of different ways somebody can kind of shine, right? So there's the initial assessment. The initial assessment, like probably 10% of people, maybe less, get all the questions correctly. It's difficult, but it's open book. So if someone gets 100% on that, okay, they're probably getting an interview. But even if someone scores, say, 64%, but if their resume stands out, you know, it's like, well, this person scored 64, but they're just out of school. They got a degree in marketing analytics. Like, let's at least talk to them or whatever. There's a ton of candidates that have gone through the system where they were, you know, on paper, mediocre, but then blew us away in the presentation. And a big thing that Avery said at one point was like, you know, at the end of the day, it's not necessarily about any individual thing. It's like, you have to pick up on, hey, is this person going to get it? Are they going to have the right attitude? And are they going to like show up every single day and put in the work to get really good? And I think like this process, as long and complicated as it really is, really allowed us to really hit that on the head. Okay, so now we have this process built. We've fixed all of our presence on our website and LinkedIn and all this other stuff. Now we have to put ourselves out there. We're going to advertise. Now this is where it gets interesting, because the whole reason we're doing this is because I have a lot of negative thoughts about the current talent and recruiting industry. I think it's extortion. I think like executive recruiting is great, you know, and they're gonna get a commission of 10% of salary or whatever it is. But to do that in a world where we're getting new hires that like the candidates are kind of up in the air, that model doesn't work for us or anybody. It's ridiculous to think that we're paying you, you know, $8,000 to $15,000 for somebody that has like no actual work experience. So now there's actual costs associated with this, because now we built this program, but we have to pay to advertise. So we had to have something that not only worked, but was profitable. What did that look like, and how did we make it work?
So it was a little bit of a trial and error. At first, we just kind of assumed, all right, we'll put the job post out there. We'll run on whatever the recommended LinkedIn budget was per day, and let's just see. We had applicants from all over the world. I was tackling some parts of the US, Bruno was tackling others. At one point in time, I was tackling the US, Bruno was tackling international, saying, so sorry, I'm getting people set up with screening. And we're like, all right, pause. We botched this. Let's try again. We learned that it was most efficient for us to have individual job postings for each office. So if we had two opportunities in Florida that we knew we had two open seats for, have those two job posts running advertised in Florida. And then we can kind of check off the areas around the office and build the radius. Same thing for Philadelphia, and then the same thing for New York. That's when we really saw even higher quality candidates come in, not necessarily the quantity, but the quality. It did drop off a little bit. We weren't seeing hundreds of numbers and we weren't as busy, but it allowed us to focus in, get those people that are going to come to the office, and really set the stage for an efficient screening process. And I think we did so pretty well.
Yeah, we were like, before we jumped on, we were trying to find like it's funny, all this happened within the last 7 months, which I don't know if we haven't made that super clear on this recording yet. All of this has taken place in the last 7 months. Like everything that we're describing is stuff that's happened in 7 months, including all the hiring and training and all of these people that are all incredible team members here. But I found like a report that you sent to Isaac after like essentially the first 2 weeks. So I know that you started and you had to reiterate, but we're looking just at LinkedIn spend, and you were able to get 42 junior applicants, 8 senior applicants, kind of all the way down the line. I'm looking at this spreadsheet, and cost per applicant of $8.13, and then a cost per, we had sent 3 offers by that point, and 2 of them had been accepted. So that's pretty good, right? So the cost per hired candidate for this was $670. Which is a lot better than $10,000, which is what we were like about to pay for an executive recruiter. Now, again, obviously that was like the first 2 weeks. You can't necessarily know that was scalable, but like what other experiences did you guys have? What did you learn from advertising, whether it was LinkedIn, or I know you guys tried some other platforms as well.
I think I learned the value of the strong job description. That was like probably my biggest learning, because we would have people, and let me take a step back, the title of the job. That was my biggest learning. We just had junior account manager. We had applicants that were, I've been in sales for 10 years, or I've been dying to get into software. Are you guys like similar to like a Spotify? I'm like, not at all. So I think it was the value of the job title and the job description was what made the ads worthwhile and valuable. Of course, obviously, as with all of our ads and Google ads, and we talk about it all day, every day with clients, you tell us, like, the more niche you can get in describing your ideal client or your ideal customer, your ideal location. I mean, Patrick, I know we talk about it with one client with their store locations. So that's essentially us. Like, we have storefronts, there are offices. So making sure we're targeting people in those areas was the most beneficial thing, but getting the right people and getting people with the title that we could offer them.
Like a 10-mile radius in New York doesn't really work.
No.
Because that could be a 2-hour commute. But a 10-mile radius in, you know, Philadelphia might be a little bit different. So I think kind of adapting to that is definitely what. So first of all, you're describing the value of writing good ad copy,
yes.
Right? This all comes back to, like, all of this is what we were doing was just marketing a career at Adventure Media. What was the, like, did you find a single job description or a headline, a title that worked to describe, like, say, junior account manager? Because that's what we refer to it as. But what worked to drive those applicants?
I think by the end, we were using more of like a media manager type title or like a paid media manager type title and like those types of tags on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is really great. They give you that opportunity. So of course, account manager is what we do and what we call it.
Right.
Totally different in another agency, like even an agency up the street from us, their account manager might be the one who's getting clients in the door. So
right.
Really saying that this is somebody who's going to be focused on paid media. You're going to be running campaigns. You're going to be talking to clients. You're going to be the one talking about KPIs and just kind of getting that out there.
Awesome. Bruno, what do you have to add on the advertising piece?
Not especially in the ad copy piece, but I would say that from the perspective of like what we learned, I think that along with the ad copy, it's the whole like strategy that was worked on. I think that this is something that nobody's done before. Hiring was always, I think Isaac described as, what would be the word for that? Like spontaneous.
Yeah.
You know, it was always like someone approached LinkedIn, they had an interesting CV or they applied to the site, they had an amazing score, you went on a call, it was great. So all this work that we did, that we had no idea at the beginning how to get, where to get started from. I think all of that was extremely valuable to see the what overcome, like what turned around from all of this work afterwards. Like we were interviewing really good candidates. Like we were actually looking at CVs, you know, not on the first job post, but on the second one, when we kind of figured out what wasn't attracting the right candidates and we fixed that, we were actually looking at CVs that were very strong candidates. So, and that's what we want to see, you know? So I think that it's worth like putting on the time to think and to write and to plan, put together all of these pieces that this is going to, you know, just like ads, just like a client that you're working with.
And I totally agree. And there's also like the ripple effect of now all of a sudden, like one thing we probably need to do better about is like encouraging referrals. Because here's like, I don't know, a year ago or whatever, I actually did a podcast with, and someone else that runs a company, and he had mentioned that a KPI for their business is percentage of employees that were hired by referrals. And I had never heard of something like that before. It was totally mind blowing. But it's about building a culture. And I think like, if you, where culture is so important and you put in energy and you hire people that actually embody the culture and the attitude and the type of people that you want to bring in, the chances are they surround themselves with people who are also like have similar attributes. So like just recently we brought on a referral, or I guess like a friend of somebody that was hired over the last 7 months through this program that you guys built. And that's awesome. Like, and a lot of people, I think like, and when we were a younger company, I brought in one of my like childhood friends, and it was weird because it's like, oh man, I hope like people don't think this is like nepotism or like favoritism. No, it turns out like he's awesome and has been with the company and been instrumental part of the company for 5 years now. And The referral, like she came in and is awesome. And it's like, that's the sort of thing. It's like, you want to encourage people to bring similar people into the company to help build something that you can really be proud of. And the culture matters so, so much. This is amazing. So what do you think? So now we're at the point where it's like, we actually kind of slowed down a little bit because we have a lot of people now. I know that in the coming year, we're going to do more hiring, but like, what do you guys think is the next thing that we need to do differently or better if, say, we come out and say, hey, next year we want to hire, you know, another, we want to grow the team by another 15% or whatever.
I mean, I kind of think it's almost a part two to what you were just saying is the referral process and getting our employees and growing them. We hired a lot of young people and that's great and that's awesome, but it's a lot of young talent and we're their only exposure. Making sure we're getting them networking and involved with like bringing people into events like DOLA, sending some of our newer team members to conferences that, you know, Patrick, at your point in your career, you're like, I'm not going to learn anything. Kind of throwing somebody to the wolves and just like seeing and getting them in the door of a place where they can network. They can kind of internally recruit, get some new people. And then I also think it's pushing executive leadership to give us their goals for next year and helping us better define what the ideal candidate looks like, because I think now we have an idea of that. You know, we've had some great people come in the door and we've learned a lot just from our onboarding process. So it's like, again, I always lean on the question of, do I want this person to sit next to me? I think kind of taking that as our theme for hiring next year is kind of the part two. Once we get our goals, really making sure we get that person that I want to sit next to every day next to us.
What do you think? Maybe you don't have an answer to this, but like Florida specifically was a challenge to hire. Mm-hmm. What is there anything we can do differently immediately there?
Immediately in Florida? I'm not really sure because Florida, it's very unique. I mean, we have an awesome, cool office. Like we have.
So cool.
Yeah, we have the cool space. We have the cool people. We have a neon sign, which I'm very jealous of. But that's just very how I think the Florida culture is there with all of the offices. So I think we need to find our next value prop in Florida. Like what makes us special? Why do you want to come to our office every day? Maybe my next step is immediately we get the Florida team on the line and just say, what makes you want to come to this office every day? Because we know for New York, we know for Philly, but like, what is it? What's Florida?
Yeah. Well, also, as far as figuring out goals, it'll be really hard for us to figure out in the winter because we might fill up our Florida office with everyone from Florida. Apparently, it's just planning on moving to Miami for the winter, which is going to be a little bit of an issue. But whatever, we're going to encourage it. Bruna, do you have anything to add as far as like what we can be doing differently, what we should do in the coming year? Think about.
I think there is always room for improvement. I think that, you know, knowing the goals and knowing like what's the right time to do this hiring. So as early as we know what the goals are, we can set up, you know, those lots of times that are better in the year to really target candidates that are finishing up school, that are ready for internships and things like that. And also in terms of processes, I think that there is room for improvement on what we were doing. It was a last minute kind of setup that we created. So I think that with time and a fresh eye, we can also improve that.
Yeah, that's a good part. A good thing that you mentioned related to timing. I think that's something that definitely worked in our favor. We kind of threw all this together at a time when a lot of people are like graduating college, May, June, that's kind of when we hired a lot of these people. But I should add, like, it's like a lot of the hires that we brought on aren't just fresh out of school. They're people that are kind of moving or looking for different opportunities for different reasons. Like, you know, Tyler, who's based in Philadelphia, like it was his wife got a new job and was going to be relocating. So like, I mentioned earlier, like there's different things, there's different reasons why people might be like relocating or looking for a new opportunity, a different place. And those are always things to consider. It might be like Philadelphia, for example, has a lot of, there's like a million hospitals and a lot of medical schools. So like one of the reasons, this is actually, I wasn't even making this example because this happened, but this is just proving my point. The reason we have an office in Philadelphia is because Brendan was working in New York and his girlfriend got into medical school in Philadelphia. So he was like, I have to move there. Let's open an office. And that's how that whole thing started. But there's so many other people that are like, oh, my spouse or my whatever has to like move to this area. I'm looking for a new opportunity. And like thinking about those sorts of things, I think is really an advantage when you're trying to look for people that aren't just fresh out of college. And if you don't live in, you know, if you live a little bit off the beaten path. So I think this is great. This was like we over this year, I think we overall grew the team by like 60 or 70%, like absolute massive numbers. But since this effort was started, I think it was like an additional 20% or whatever. And the quality of candidates have been incredible. The amount of time that we've been able to like make this more efficient and just everything here, it's an absolute home run. You guys absolutely killed it. And I'm looking felt like this was just like the beginning of it, right? So I'm looking forward to building upon it in the future. I'm gonna do my best to get you guys some goals. But is there anything else you guys wanna add on this? Any last points or advice to other companies that might be looking to hack hiring in the coming year?
I think my advice is know who you are as a company. And then that's gonna bring the people who you want in the door. And don't be afraid to just like erase everything you were doing because you're gonna mess up. It's not going to go perfect your first time. I mean, this podcast was pretty jumbled. That's kind of like how the process has been, but it'll come with time. And again, just like you will get the ideal candidates, like once you know what you're looking for.
Yeah. All right. Amazing.
Awesome.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it. And see you soon.
Thank you, Patrick.